And you'll notice how it begins, as one of our brothers has already prayed concerning this word, blessed. Found 26 times in the book of the Psalms, and it always is in the plural, and you can translate it happy. And 19 times it's found the word blessed or blessednesses. And 6 times it's found happy. So that's the way it begins. It's a happy psalm, or psalm, as we say. If you're from Scotland, you can call it psalm. All the blessedness of the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. All the blessedness of they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And it begins on such a wonderful note, because the design of God, that your life and my life might be a transcript of the Holy Word of God. And if I follow what he says here, I'll be one of the happiest men in this world. And that's why, if we come to the Word of God, and we even read it, there is a blessing. What book in the Bible tells us definitely, if you read it, there's a blessing. Now, there's a blessing in every book of the Bible, but one particular book. Sure. And if we read that book, the Spirit of God will urge upon us and motivate us to see that the night is far spent. These things that he says, they're coming to pass. Therefore, I'll get busy and do what God wants me to do, because I'll only pass this way but once. And you see, all the great trunk lines of truth run into Grand Central Station. And sometimes I hear men saying that, you know, the Old Testament ends on a note of condemnation. Foolish. If you take it in its chronology, you'll find Malachi's the last book of our Bible. But if you study the Jewish scriptures, what's the last book of the Jewish scriptures? It starts with Genesis, and it ends with Chronicles. And how does it start? Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God. That's why when the preacher in Washington was so cast upon God, because the first Sunday he was to preach in the new year, of all people in the audience, he knew the president was going to be there. So he said, oh Lord, what shall I bring him? He had all kinds of sermons. But he wasn't sure what to preach on. And the Holy Spirit of God must have whispered into his heart, preach the preaching that I bid thee. You know what he preached on? In the beginning, God. And that was his first message of the first time the president sat in his audience. How does the Old Testament end? Let us go up. And the word let us go up, the last verse in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the very last verse. And then it's reiterated or repeated, the only time this is done, in another book called Ezra. And there's a reason for that. But the word says, let us go up. And it's Ulam, and it means let us go up to worship. And the Old Testament ends on the note of worship. How does the New Testament end? On the note of triumph. Behold, I come quickly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so, the Old Testament and the New Testament begin and end in the right way, and everything we have to do with God is the same. Because he which has begun a good work in you, he'll put the finishing touches until the day of Jesus Christ. So we come to Psalm 119. And how does it begin? It begins on the note of blessing. because God's design that you might be conformed to the image of His Son. And how can that ever take place? Get back to the Bible. It's we with open faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are what? Changed. Because some books will instruct you. Some books, they'll reform you. But there's only one book in the world that will transform you or change you. It's the Bible. And as we come to a chapter like this, as I have told you, and I won't take much time going over it, it has 22 sections. They're in 8 verses each, and we are beginning with Olive. But just in order to help you, suppose and we turn over and we look at, say, the 10th letter, and it's up at the top of verse 73. Now, what have you got up at the top of verse 73? A little figure, and you got a little word that starts with Y. What is it? It's Yod. All right. The word Yod means hand. And the reason why it's the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet is because anyone knows that 10 is responsibility. That's why when the Jews refer to the law of Moses, they don't say 5 are for God and 5 are for men. They just say the 10. Because we are creatures who have a moral responsibility to the living God. That's why you have 5 fingers on each hand. And that's why you have 5 toes on each foot. And that's why when you come to the 10th letter, did you ever study Matthew 1? Study every 10th man. And read the 60 generations. And see that all down through the years, in spite of the fact it may have been Adam or Abraham, or David, or Zerubbabel, or whoever, or Joseph, even though they were the 10th man, and the Moabite must not come into the congregation unto the 10th generation, and so on. The Bible's full of it. And as you come to 10th, you discover that all generations have failed, but there's coming one. His name is Emmanuel. And in His hands, God has entrusted the welfare of the whole human race, like He did with Noah, whose name means rest. And thank God it's all going to work out right. And everything's going to work out right. And the best is yet to be. Why? That's the message of the Bible. And whilst we can read between the lines and see what's coming and what's ahead of us for this poor, sin-sick world, we know as far as God is concerned, God is still on the throne. So you come to the 10th, and that's a message all in itself. But look how it starts, verse 73. Thy hands have what? Made me. And they have fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And it doesn't matter what age you are, if you believe a verse like this, you'll be helped when it comes even to vitamins and pills and a few other things. Because God made me. He knows more about me than anybody else. But then it says, He fashioned me. And one has to do with the creatorial work. The other has to do with the spiritual work. And that's why he says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And the word there means the one who fashions me or weaves me or, as it were, causes all things to work together. And it's a marvelous thing to realize that it's His hand. And that's why I pray, oh Lord, give me understanding. Don't give me a lot of wealth that I'll go away and forget you. Don't make me poor that I'll have to go and beg. But just look upon me as thy child. And if he remembers the sparrow, what about you? That's why he puts it that way. No wonder Henry Martin was so fond of verses 97 through to verse 104, because it's the word for water, and we're as weak as water spilt upon the ground. And that's why it starts off with verse 90. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law." And Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8, teaches me three things that I want to leave with you this morning. What are they? First of all, the law to love. Then the life to live, and the lesson to learn. And if we can get what God has for us in verses 1 through 8, which acts as a foundation or a text to the whole 119th Psalm, we're on the way. And that's why we come to Psalm 119 this morning. And here's the first thing. God wants me to really and truly appreciate this book. Now, does it come natural? No. The Bible is a holy book given by holy men under the power and motivation of the Holy Spirit to make you a holy man or woman. And I used to think holiness was associated with, you know, being doers. Do you ever go to the morning meeting sometimes on the Lord's Day? And I sometimes nudge my wife and say, "Look, you think we're coming to a funeral. We're coming to a feast." And you see, growing up, as I was brought up among the Lord's people, I used to wonder about this. And I thought, anything to do with holiness, you've got to have a, it's got to be like the Jews. You know, if you go among the Jews and you see the Orthodox Jews, then you learn all about this. But when I saw them with their wide-brimmed hats and their curls and say that they date back right to the time of David, and the reason why they dress like this and the reason why they keep themselves like this is because they are members of a special class of people, and they are truly Orthodox. They belong to the chosen of Israel. And I'd look at them, and it's like a fella coming along and he gives you a tract and he hasn't shaved for a week, and my, his breath, you don't want to get too near it. We have to be examples of what we believe, because to believe the gospel is one thing, to behave it another is another. And when it comes to holiness, what's the root? The same word for health. And I may have a sickly body, but I can have a healthy soul. And my body may begin to waste and my eyes grow dim and I can't hear, but I can still keep my soul in touch with God. And that's what we learn in Psalm 119. And he has so much to say in teaching us that happiness is holiness. And oh, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is what? Life. Peace. And this is what I need. And I know that in my life, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. But if God has put something within me, and he's put his Holy Spirit, and he's given me this word to feed upon, because the word of God is the food of faith. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I must lay hold of it. And so we come to this book, and he says, "Oh, the blessedness of the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And here I'm brought face to face with my feet. Then I learned that I've got something to keep. And then I learn that I've got someone to seek. And if I follow this, it's quite easy. But the trouble is, most of us, when it comes to the things of God, we don't come to the Bible the right way. We should approach the Bible in reverence. We should pray, "Open my eyes, Lord. I'm just natural and human, but by thy Spirit, open my eyes." And that's why I always try to be as simple as ABC, lest those in the pew are DEF. You'll get it. And so he says here, "Blessed are the undefiled." And that's not the way I came into the world. I was born in sin and shapen in crookedness. But just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and in his generation it says he was perfect, that means he was undefiled. And I know that I was turned out of the way because of sin. I know that I dwell in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And I know that all about me is defiled. Man is disfigured because of sin. And the only way we can get back into the way is when we turn to the Lord. And how can I be kept the right way in a world that's defiled because sin is everywhere? And the taste of death is upon us, the touch of death. And wherever I go, I see it. And you can see it even with the frost and what it's done to our citrus groves, what it's done to the flower of the field and the grass. And you see its withering effect. And sin has blighted us. Sin has marked us. And I'm in the midst of a world of dying men and women. How can I be kept in this way? And he says, oh, the blessedness of the man that's undefiled in the way, who walks in the law of the Lord. And how can a man be kept undefiled? How can we keep our souls in touch with God? How can we live day after day in the realization that God is our Father, Christ is our Savior, the Holy Spirit is our guide, and the Bible is a lamp for youth and age? How can we do it? Well, he's laid down the principles, and they're eternal, and they're fixed, and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And here I learn something. I learn I must come to this book. And you know, we read everything. You've got time for a Time magazine, so have I. You've got time for a morning newspaper, so have I. But how many of us get to the Bible? And how many of us refuse to go through a day without having something of the Word of God? That's why I'm so interested in my children. And I'm looking for signs. And I want to see that they get to the Bible. And to some, the Bible is dead, deader than the Dead Sea. They just don't seem to get anything out of it. To others, it's dull and dry and dusty. But to others, it's like a fountain of life. And that's why, when you come to the fourth letter, Dolleth, in verse 25, he says, my soul clingeth to the dust, or cleaveth to the dust. Quicken me, or awaken me, or make me live. And many a time I get up in the morning and I'm just like that. But I pray to God. And as I pray and as I meditate, the fire begins to burn. And then I'm ready. That's why George Mueller said, always and ever, come to the Word of God first. Then pray. And the devil will do everything in this life to keep you from the Bible. And if you're not a Christian, he'll keep you from the blood. And all through life, you need the blood and you need the book. And that's why human history began with a brooding God. How does it end? With a bleeding lamb. And throughout all eternity, God will never let us forget what it cost Jesus Christ to make us his people. And what a marvelous thing, throughout all eternity, our song will be of Moses and the Lamb. And I believe throughout all eternity, God will be unveiling and unfolding the wonders of this book. Because here I am, just a man, and I'm trying to get you to see that Aleph is the first letter. It means preeminent. It means priority. This is where we get the word elephant from. This is where we get the word alphabet from. The first two letters, alpha and bet. And in the Greek, it's exactly the same. Alphabet or alphabet. And when Jesus Christ stepped into this world, he was the alphabet of God. Why? He said, I am Alpha and Omega. That's just another way of saying it. It's in the Greek. He just was another way of saying this in the Hebrew. But one day when Jesus Christ came into the world and he was among the sons of men, he gave a tremendous statement. He said, I am the truth. Why? Because hundreds of years before, Buddha came along with his millions and gathered all the rich sons of India to teach them certain principles. And he said, I am the truth. And he's led millions down the bloodless path to a Christless grave. But when Jesus was here, he says, I am the truth. And the reason why he said, I am the truth, because the word truth means I'm the first letter, I'm the middle letter, and I'm the last letter of the alphabet. And that's why you can understand what he means. John, as he writes, he says, the Word became flesh. What does that mean? The Word became flesh. The incarnate God dwelt among men. And what's the design of God? That the Word might become flesh in you and in me. Because men and women don't read the Bible today, but they read you. That's why we're to be called epistles. Read and known of all men. And they can read you a lot better than you ever dream of. That's why this, we follow this, undefiled. How can I be kept the right way in this crooked world? How can I be kept sincere and honest and true in a world that's besmirched and stained and saturated with sin and unbelief? And the paw of the devil is seen everywhere. How he wrecks the homes. How he blasts a man's life as he takes him into the pub. How he gets his eyes upon a woman and the next thing they're off. How can I ever be kept the right way in such a godless world? That's why he says, who walk in the law of the Lord. And you'll notice he says the law of the Lord in verse 1. Then he speaks of his testimonies in verse 2. Then he speaks of his ways in verse 3. Then he speaks of his precepts in verse, thy precepts in verse 4. Then he speaks of thy statutes in verse 5. Then he speaks of thy commandments in verse 6. Then he speaks of thy righteous judgments in verse 7. And then he speaks again of thy statutes. Now here's a few words, and we just read them. We don't pay any attention. What does the word law mean? Well, it comes from a root meaning to project or to propel, like a man would shoot an arrow. And we all know that sin is missing the mark. And you see, because of sin, we have missed God's mark. And that's why all have sinned. That takes me to Adam. And are coming short of the glory of God. That takes me today. Because one is one tense, the other is another tense. Now I have time to enter into that, but it's true. So I'm marked by sin because of Adam. I'm marked by crookedness because of the way I'm made. I'm only a poor sinner. But God has designed that I should walk in sweet fellowship with him. That God, that I should have counsel with him. That I should be on speaking terms with him. And he's made every arrangement. He's done all that he could to bring it about. And if he commands me, or he wants me to walk in his way, well then, he's laid down and made the provision. And that's why he says, who walk in the law of the Lord. And the design of God is that I might be like an arrow. And that I might not be warped or crooked, because an arrow warped in the weight, in the making, is never true in its flight. But you see, I've been brought into fellowship with the living God. And if I walk in the light, and if I follow the Word, what is it? When you walk with the Lord in the light of his Word, what a glory he sheds on your way. While you do his good will, he abides with you still. If you do what? Prosper. And obey. You see, the word of Saul was to sacrifice. But the word of Samuel, who had the ear of God, was to obey. And that's why the root idea of hearing mean is really obey. Because when my mother says, heed me, I know what she means. You obey me. And that's why the teacher says, hear me. That's why God says, hearken, ye sons of Israel. And oh, that men would hear the voice of the Lord. That's why the Bible closes with the messages, the various messages to the churches. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Why did Jesus say it seven times? Why is it found at the end of the Bible here? Because it's with a view to obedience. Because the transcript of true blessing under God is laid down in the Bible. And if I follow it, I'll be a very happy man. And the devil would cheat us and rob us and defeat us. And if you do that, your life will be narrowed. Your life will be dwarfed. Your life will never amount and measure up to fullness and blessing. This is the lie of the devil. Yea, hath God said. That's the first one. And the first thing the devil ever did was to bring you to the place where you have doubts on the Word of God. And if he can get you there, he'll lead you on till you deny the Word of God. And that's why as Christians, how we need to believe what we believe. And he says here, blessed are they that treasure his testimonies. The word testimonies is a witness, and I could give you the root and all, but this is another word. And I'm to treasure in my soul the things of God, that the word of Christ may dwell in your heart, how? Richly. And if the word of God is in my heart, and it's like a treasure, well, I'm going to honor it. I'm going to obey it. And that's why he says that they that seek him, because many of us go about it half-heartedly. Many of us don't put our soul into the business. That's why as a young man, I used to say, oh God, how can I learn of thee the right way? And as a boy, I used to think, I'd like to walk where the Lord walked. And I'd like to learn some of the things way in that land. And who could have ever dreamed that someday he had fulfilled the very desire of my heart? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. And then I had an older sister that I don't remember anything much about. And even when I came into the world, George had to run off to get the doctor. And we had an older sister. And she had a desire to go to Africa. But she never got, because God took her as a little girl in her 16th year. And I don't even remember. But the desire that was in her heart found a place in my heart. And that's the way she prayed. And she said, Lord, if I can't go, that in the day to come you'll give the little ones an understanding heart, that they may follow on. And the dying request of a teenager found expression in my own life. And if we seek him with the whole heart, there's no telling what God does. Because the things that God appreciates are those who come to him the right way. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after what? Roger. And they shall be what? Filled. When did you ever have a desire? And you may be old, but that doesn't matter. After all through your life, you can be filled with the wine of God. And all through your life, you can be bringing forth fruit, even to your old age. And the Word of God expressly commands that we're to seek him with the whole heart, not in a half-hearted way. And here's something that I must love. I must love my Bible. I must come to the Word of God with an appreciation. Because in Russia today, think of the price of having a Bible. Think of China. But I'm able to read my Bible. Nobody, I don't have to worry somebody coming into my door, taking me off to jail, because I've got this wonderful book. And that's why when I saw the Chinese coming into Zambia, and I saw them with their little books, and they would come with their little books, and it was always bound in red, and they make sure that if the people worked for them, they'd get some of these little sayings of mail. And the way they spread communism, they made sure that something of this little book got into the hands of the common people, and they're still at it. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they go over hill and plain, always and ever on the job to try and get something of this into the hands of the people. And I learn from them. Why? Well, when I see how the devil works, what about my own life? Am I zealous? have I desire. Did you ever read how the New Testament opens? It says, and Herod inquired diligently. And then he says, go and search diligently. And then when the men went the wrong way and didn't come his way, he went after them diligently. Why does the Bible give us that? To teach us that the devil and his crowd, in what they're doing, they're diligent. And that's why the Spirit of God through Peter says, give diligence to make your election. Sure, I know I'm a Christian, but how can this thing be real and vital and personal? I must make it real, and I must give diligence. I must bring my mind to bear upon the things that God has given me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I'm to seek him with the whole heart. And this is something that God enjoins upon me. And you see, I must, first of all, love the law. I must love my Bible. And that's why he gave us four things in the church of Jerusalem. They were to continue steadfastly in teaching. Why is it put there? There must be a love for the things of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. And I must come to the Word of God. Why did Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn? I mean, why did the Spirit of God say to grow in grace and knowledge? One is life and living. You never can separate them. And God has put within me his Holy Spirit. He's given me this wonderful gift. And the Spirit of God desires to take of the things of Christ and make them real to me. How can they ever become real? I must get to my Bible, because the Bible's full of Christ. And you see him coming in the old. You see, he's come in the new. And the whole message of the book, he's coming again. And so here he says, they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And I must live this kind of life. That means they don't do anything crooked. They're sincere. They don't compromise. I'm living in an age of compromise. And they don't pussyfoot. They don't beat about the bush. The idea here is they're not sinless people. You come with me. Live with me. Ask my wife. I've got faults. That's why we put rubbers on the end of pencils, because all of us have got fault. We all make mistakes. I'm marked by failure. I'll never finish the course that God gave me to do. I'd like to finish it the right way, but we all finish our work, and there's still so much to do. And here he says they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That simply means they live a godly, upright, moral life. And countless thousands and thousands of people have lived this way. They've lived and died. But they, being dead, yet speak. And that goes from Abel all the way down. Because Abel had the earmark. He listened to the voice of God, but Cain didn't. He was of the wicked one. And what was the wicked one's design? Get him away from it. And Enoch, he walked with God. What about Noah? He worked for God. And you'll find that as this psalm is called the anatomy of the soul, Hebrews 11 is the anatomy of faith, because faith affects every part of your being from top to toe. And if you're a woman, it affects the womb. Study Sarah. If you're like Moses, it affects your eye. If you're like Jacob, it affects your hip. That's why one of the Hebrew words here in this psalm is the word somach, which means leaning, and it's the word 70. And after a person has reached a certain age, they need to lean heavily lots of time upon a cane. But you have the living God, and he'll prove himself a strong right hand as long as you live in the face of the earth. But that takes faith. And sometimes our faith is so weak. Some people have no faith. They're unbelievers. Some have little faith. But if we want more faith and much faith and great faith, I must get to the Bible. And that's why I'm interested in the coming generation of young people. And that's why in Africa, I start with the boys and girls and seek to instruct them systematically in the things of God. Because it's only the Word of God that will keep us as we go on through life. And then We follow on. And there are certain things that God wants me to learn. These are the three things. Do I love the Bible? Oh, how I love the law. Well, if we get to know what he's talking about, we can't help but love this word because it brings to our heart the God whom we know and love, because the Bible is a revelation of the living and the true God. It's God's message from his heart to our heart. And while there are many things that appeal to the head, and the Bible appeals to the head, the great thing about the Bible, it appeals to the heart. And there's a lot of things I just don't understand. But God speaks in such a way that the peoples of all kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation can understand. And he speaks in such a way that that which he spoke 3,000 years ago is absolutely fresh right today. And that's not like other books. It's not like science and all the things that man has. And so as you go down through these verses, let me list the things that you have here. And I have written them out lest I forget. First thing, God wants you to be a happy person, a blessed person. And truly, I've been blessed of God. Now, that's the first thing. Oh, the blessedness. Do you believe it? And that's why we say, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. And God granted him his request. Who was it? Jabez. And many a time I cry to God to bless me. And he has blessed me, because blessing is never in the single, it's in the plural. And we have blessing upon blessing. Count your many blessings, name them one by one or ton by ton, and it'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. And if you want to read the greatest of all, read Ephesians 1, and you go for about 14 verses without a stop, and see what God has done. He's chosen us, predestinated us, and so on. And by the time you get through, you realize why Ephesians is called the Alps of the New Testament, because God takes us right up into the presence of God, and he tells us he's blessed us with every blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus, and he's heaped upon us blessing upon blessing, and we should live like millionaires, not like poverty stricken people, as so many of us do. And the first thing here, I'm a blessed man. Then he commands us, he wants us to be honest, and that's why we're to be marked. We're not to be marked by crookedness. And he says here in verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And you see, I'm to be marked by honesty or sincerity. That's no iniquity. I'm to be marked by diligence. So I must have a plan when it comes to my Bible. I must read it every day. I don't understand it. All God's people aren't called upon to be students, but we should read it. They should be like my father, our father, when he meditated the Bible through. And we could sit and talk to him, and he could talk about anything in the Bible. But if it came to standing up to speak, that wasn't. He just couldn't do it. But he meditated. And that's why this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all things that are written therein, for then thou shalt have what? Good success. Inwardly. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous outwardly. And God wants you to be blessed inwardly and outwardly, privately and publicly. And that's why he speaks here. We are to give diligence. And then I need direction. And I say, oh, that my ways were directed. How can you get guidance? Get to the Bible. And you'll hear a voice behind you saying, the word of the Lord. God guides by his Spirit. God guides by his book called the Scriptures. God guides by counsel of others. God guides by circumstances. But how can you be sure? Get it from God. And when you're reading the Bible every day and you're following on with God, God will give you something absolutely wonderful. I remember we got the news that our boy was going to be called into the army, and if we weren't out before his birthday, my boy would be in the army and jeopardize all his future in Rhodesia. So we didn't know what to do. We were troubled. We were anxious. And that night we were reading in our Bible, and we were reading around the table, which we do. And I saw a verse in the Bible. I never dreamed it was in the Bible. Regard not thy furniture. And I thought, boy, is that in the Bible? It was there. We read it. In Genesis 45, we read it. And the little boy, he was reading. He said, he looked at me. He's 16. Grace looked at me. And then we all said, well, there it was. I tell you, I'd never seen it. And I believe that for every circumstance, every condition, everything in life, there is something in the Word of God. And that's why that night in our own private reading, in Genesis 45, verse 20, regard not your furniture, for the good of all the land of Egypt is before you. And we had to have a sale, and many of the things that a man holds dear, all sold. And the auction took place on a Saturday, and God helped us. And 3 weeks later, the market fell out of the whole country. And it would be hard even to sell a tape recorder. But you see, God gave us instructions. And we accepted, and we came away with just a little bit of stuff. And a missionary learns to hold lightly to the things of this present evil world. And he learns to evaluate that which is going to last in time and for eternity. And he doesn't put all his eggs in one basket. And while he's going through this world, he realizes that God has brought him into this world to give, not to get. And the result is he learns something about direction. He learns how not to be ashamed. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect. And that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of the cross. And that's why I can go through this world. And the word of God assures me that he that believeth in him shall not be what? Confounded. It's the same word, ashamed. And God's people need to take knowledge of things like this and to enter into it. Then shall I not be ashamed. And this is a wonderful thing. And then he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned. And in my process, the word here is in the continuous present. When I'm learning of God and I'm discovering God and I'm following after God, I learn that what God wants is uprightness, or sincerity, or trueness, or loyalty, or fidelity. It's all here. And I shall be characterized by uprightness of heart. And then how does it end on a glorious note? I will keep thy statutes. And then he says, oh, forsake me not utterly. Why? Because the man that's learning of God and growing with God and going on with God, he knows that he's subject to failure. He knows that he's not to be given over to pride, lest he should fall, because pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And he learns something of the ways of God, and he discovers that he needs to come to God in all thy ways, acknowledge him. He needs not to trust in his own heart, because he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And so he learns dependence, and that's why he says, forsake me not utterly, because if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? If the Lord didn't hold me up, where would I be? I'd go down like a house of cards. But the man that builds on the rock, when the winds blow and the rains descend and the floods come up, he stands, he holds. Why? Because he built his house upon the rock. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal rock of ages. And he's given us this Gibraltar as long as we go through life. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. And would God that these things that he teaches us in these 8 verses, what are they? This is what he wants me to learn. This is what he wants me. My life characterized by his blessing, by honesty, by diligence, by direction, unashamedness, uprightness, dependence. And if I follow on here, then I'm ready for the next verses that he'll teach me as I go through this wonderful, wonderful psalm. I wonder if you know that little chorus, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Is it in this book? How? What number? 222. Good. Thank you very much. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. 222.